Bring them up. These are our moderators.
Starting it off?
Sure. I didn't know you did all that, by the way. Man, you had quite the career. Wish I was old enough to see it.
22 years of that.
Yeah, I know. And we still get along. Thank you, Sandy, very much for all that. And this is an event that the Detroit Red Wings look forward to every year, the Detroit Economic Club lunch. We really do. It's a lot of fun, and to see so many passionate Red Wing fans here.
I'd like to start by thanking the Economic Club for our visit here, now 14 years, and Steve mentioned 85 years. And by the way, you're talking about axe throwing. If you really want to get a feel about aggression, just put on a hockey uniform for one day. Yeah. You'll have a ball. You get all your frustrations out for sure. But it's always great to see the passion that we see here in Detroit and in the state of Michigan and around the world for the Red Wings. Wherever we go, it's great to see the jerseys and the support that we get, and for Ken and I to be able to call these games through the great times that we had here in the Stanley Cup runs and the 25 years and all that good stuff. And now, like the city of Detroit, we're on a rebuild and things are going well. So we're looking forward to continuing that. And congratulations to all of you for 700 here today. And by the way, to all you young people that are here, the 80 students, is it 80? Good for you, and I hope you listen well. As we used to be told when we were growing up, sometimes you need to listen and don't speak. You learn a lot. So welcome today for the rest of us.
When I first walked into the booth, that's the first thing he told me. In just a few minutes, we'll hear from Red Wings Executive Vice President and General Manager Ken Holland, Head Coach Jeff Blashill, the Red Wings' three alternate captains this year, Nick Cronwall, Justin Abdelkader, and Dylan Larkin. Steve told you how to get your questions up here. I know, Mickey, you were writing that down, so you know how to use the hashtag and everything.
That word meant something different to me in the past.
I know it did. Hashtag would have meant something different to you. I know. Carry on.
When we have our roundtable discussion, we'll get into it a bit more, but whether you're watching games on Fox Sports Detroit or in person at Little Caesars Arena, there's no denying that this Red Wing team is working to be a contender day in and day out. As I said, this city's on a comeback, and so are the Red Wings.
And after more than two decades of perennial success and the playoff experiences, there is no denying, as you say, that the Red Wings are rebuilding and developing a new, younger core that we're seeing it grow night in and night out right before your eyes.
Players and the staff in this room were the first to tell you the team isn't where they want to be in the standings at this point in the season. And for someone that has worn the winged wheel, I know how much pride and responsibility these guys feel every day, every game. Win, lose, or draw, it doesn't matter. There's a lot of pride in wearing a Red Wing jersey. But for the city and for the fans as well, there's a lot to be proud of about this organization. The culture has been established a long time ago, and as we move forward, that culture will continue and build to get it back the way it was before. It's always good. It can be better, and it will be better. So our roundtable today, starting on my left, veteran Nicholas Cronwall. Dylan Larkin. Ken Holland. Jeff Blashill. Justin Abdelkader and Mr. Daniels. You want to take it out? You want me to take it out?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's start with the coach.
This is what we do when we rehearse the open. Who's starting? Go ahead.
I've heard this before.
Be seen and not heard. Okay, coach. Competitive every night, like it has never been before in the NHL, no matter who you talk to. How much of a change have you seen in that department here in your 4 years as a coach?
Yeah, you know what, Mick? I'll actually go back to when I first came here as an assistant 8 years ago. I would say there was separation in the league between the top the middle and kind of the bottom. Prior to that, and Ken can speak better than me to this, I would say the separation was even greater, where you had five or so teams that had a real chance to win the cup at the beginning of the year, then you had another mix and some bad teams. Now the difference between the best teams at the top of the standings and the teams at the bottom of the standings is minuscule, and I mean minuscule. There just is nowhere near the same difference on a night-to-night basis, so it's become extremely competitive. It means you have to be at your very best every night just to have a chance to win. You can't go into a game and be 70% and outscore your opponent and still win. That just doesn't happen hardly at all in the league, maybe with the exception of a team or two. Tampa's on a heck of a run this year. We haven't seen anything like that in the last few years. So I think it makes for a great league, but it means you got to come ready to play every single night, Mick.
Kenny, now, once the trade deadline's over, I guess for a GM it's mail it in March, huh?
No. I just said to Larks here, I said, we got 18 games to go. I said, we got to dig in and play hard here the last 18, so.
Exactly. Well, you've got what does a GM do after the trade deadline's over? You got GM meetings coming up and scouting coming up. Obviously, it's not. I'm joking about mail-in March. But what does your schedule look like the next month?
The team's going to Phoenix, flies out this afternoon. I'm going to go to Florida. Our general manager meetings are in Florida Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Basically, the rest of the year, I want to get involved with our amateur scouts. I'm going to go out and scout games. Watch Grand Rapids. Looks like I think they should be in the Calder Cup playoffs, so watch Grand Rapids. Basically, scout. And then in May, we have our year-end amateur meetings. The NHL Combine is in Buffalo the last week of May. Then we have our pro scout meetings in early June leading up to making decisions, obviously, at the amateur draft the last third week in June. And then the last week of June, we bring in all our top 40 prospects for development camp, and July 1st is free agency. So, once the trade deadline is over for all managers, when your season's over, whether you're a non-playoff team or a playoff team, the general managers of those teams, that from that period of time until July the 5th is really when you're working on building your team for the following season.
And you have one proposal at the GM meetings, correct?
You tell me about it once a week, so yeah.
Yeah, and you're going to do it, right?
it's your proposal. If okay. I can push it through, it's the Ken Daniels rule.
Thank you very much.
What is it, by the way?
It's the offside, which takes minutes upon minutes upon minutes to review, where the puck, if you're coming into the offensive zone, so let's say Dylan's bringing it into the offensive zone, and he's up there with Abby, and Dylan brings it in, and the ruling now maybe Abdelkader just offside by this much. The puck's got to be all the way over the blue line. They have to do the tape like this to see if it's all the way over. My point is, when the puck hits the outside edge of the blue line, it then becomes onside, rather than waiting till it's all the way over. Because the zone's 64 feet from the goal out, keep it the same size. Why is it a foot less? It's got to come all the way out to be offside. Why does it have to be all the way in to be onside? Just keep the zone size the same.
Sunday night, it's debatable. Ken, Sunday night when I go to dinner with a bunch of other managers, I'll float this idea, but if it doesn't have a lot of support,
yeah,
I'm going quiet.
Okay, all right, you go quiet, you can blame me. And first of all, and some will say, well, the skate has to be touching the blue line, not
no,
in the air.
No, there you go.
No, the league will not go for that because they believe players, and you guys know, will stretch it even further. They're worried about skates cutting players. So if you're coming in across the blue line and it's the plane of the blue line and your foot's in the air like this, they want it touching the blue line because they feel skates coming up, they're going to get cut. The league will never go for plane of the blue line. Yeah. I've spoken to the referees. They won't do it.
I think I better get you on a conference
12
call.
12 inches or lower.
If it doesn't work, say they were joking and it was Gord Miller's idea.
Okay.
Okay.
Enough of that silliness. Okay.
When it passes, it won't be silly.
Okay. Nicholas, you've had to overcome some quite serious injuries the last couple of years. It seems like, at least from the outside, it looks like you've done very well at that, and you haven't missed very many games. How tough has that been to go to the post every night and do your job?
Well, this year it's actually been more exciting than the last few years, to be honest with you. I feel a lot better body-wise. Last few years were a bit frustrating at times, just finding a way to get through. But this year, last two summers, I completely changed up the summer training. I've done some other stuff to try to give me a chance to stay in the game and give me a chance to be out there. And I feel a lot better than I have the last few years, to be honest with you, and just excited to come to the rink every day.
And a lot of people have asked me, as we move around here, is Nicholas Cronwall going to play another year? Have you made that decision either way yet?
No, I have not. I'm sure Kenneth's got something to say about that.
It's the Economic Club. You can talk contract. Right here. Get a deal done right here.
No, but there's no doubt that I feel, body-wise, I feel pretty good, and I love coming to the rink every day. And then to the end of the year, if I get a chance to sit down with Kenny, we'll go from there.
We're going to talk at the end of the year.
Good. Awesome. Talk at the end of the year. That makes sense. Julie, newborn son Jackson, what's it like being a dad in the hockey season?
Yeah, you definitely your sleep nights are numbered. Especially lately, he's been teething a little bit. So every few hours on the clock, he seems to want to get up. And there's really nothing better though, becoming a dad for the first time. You kind of realize, the love that your dad had and growing up. And sometimes he's hard on you and you want to say something back, but he's like Mick said, don't speak.
Yeah. Seen and not heard is what I remember. Be seen and not heard.
So Joe used to get mad. Joe would lay down the law, would he?
He would get mad. I'll never forget a memory when my youth days, and I'd be in the back seat and he'd be driving, and if I played a bad game, I'd sometimes glance up towards the front of the car, and if we made eye contact, I quick looked out the window and pretend like we didn't see each other, and it was through the rear view mirror, and he was always my toughest critic, but that was, he's a huge reason why I made it where I have, and not only in hockey, but in life in general, and hopefully I can pass that on to my son.
Well, your book's beautiful. Tell us about your book. You've written a kid's book.
Yeah, so... Never thought I'd become an author, but it was challenging at times, but a lot of fun. I got the inspiration through Stephen Tulloch, who I went to his charity foundation for a few years, and his book was called The Little Linebacker, and it was kind of portrayed his childhood and obstacles that he faced, and I thought that I had a unique story growing up in Michigan then playing for the Red Wings, more or less tying it into my reading program, that Abby's All-Stars, and just trying to inspire kids because there can be so many negative things in the community. And there's a quick story in my book where there was, I went to a career fair and there was one red marble and a bunch of thousands of marbles. And a bunch of us hockey players walked up to the bowl and said, what's the reason for the one red marble? Well, it's like, well, this is a chance of you becoming a professional athlete. And we were all just really disappointed and bummed out. But I said, hey, I want to be that one red marble and work as hard as possible. And try to inspire kids to follow their dreams. And whether they make it all the way, it's about the journey and their relationships and the people you meet along the way.
Awesome.
Thanks,
Beautiful. Abby. Nice set.
Okay, Dylan, what's it mean for a guy that's in his fourth year to have guys like on your left and on your right in the dressing room off the ice as well as on?
Yeah, I mean, it means a lot, and it's pretty crazy to say that it's already been 4 years, and the guys always say it goes by fast, but it's been real enjoyable, having these two guys, and from what being a Red Wing really means, and it means a lot more than just being on the ice, and it has been set through examples back when you played, Mick, and Ted Lindsay, and Gordie Howe, and Steve Yzerman, and Nick Lidstrom, and I'm fortunate to play with Henrik Zetterberg, and Nick Cronwall, and Abby, and other guys that have been around the league, like Trevor Daly, and Mike Green, and these guys I really look up to, and being around them every day. A big word that goes around our locker room is culture, and what that means to us, and it means coming to the rink every day and working hard and doing it the right way, and I think that goes to the city of Detroit as well, and to everyone in here that if you're it's not going the way you want, there's only one thing to do is work hard and do it the right way, and that's something that's been passed down.
After 4 years, last question. What's the biggest thing that you've learned about being a professional athlete and your growth, 4 years later from the start? on or off the ice?
I don't know. I think you got to love it. You got to want to come to the rink every day and get better. I think not saying that when you get older and you're still a professional athlete, you don't have that hunger. I see it in all of our veteran guys, but you know, there's other things going on, and you know, for myself, being in my fourth year, I still have the same drive I do when I was in my draft year and wanting to be a high draft pick, and when I was at Michigan and I wanted to turn pro, and now I'm in my fourth year, I still have that drive, and I want to be a better player every day, and it's a tough league to do that, but you learn a lot about yourself.
Thank you. Okay.
We're going to send it back, so we don't feel like we're monkeys in a zoo. We can take our seats because Sandy Pierce has questions from the audience. Did you have one more?
No. I was just going to ask Justin.
Yeah.
The team has a routine of birthdays and cakes, and I saw yours the other night, right?
Yep.
What was that all about? Now, each player, I guess when you have a birthday,
yeah,
you bring a cake that everybody can share after the game.
I think we kind of lost that tradition a little bit. Lately.
Really?
Crowner, would you say? It was
yeah.
Something that went on for I feel like the last handful of years, and if it was a guy's birthday, you had to bring a cake. If not, you were getting fined. And I thought it was a fun tradition. We saw some really unique cakes over the years. And
so describe yours. I happened to accidentally see it, and it was somebody from the enemy camp that was carrying it in.
Kim
from
Brody,
Michigan.
Yeah, I know. I don't know how I got her to carry the thing in. Actually, she was the one who set it up, but it was a Michigan State helmet. It was actually really nicely done. Had an edible chin strap, had the visor and the number and the big block S on the side.
And there were Michigan people that brought it in.
Yes.
To the building.
Yes,
that's
yes. There were a few Michigan people that handled it, so I'm surprised it got down, but it made it down
safely.
Aren't
we so lucky to have Michigan and Michigan State both in the same state? It's a beautiful thing. Thanks, guys, very much.
Thanks,
Nick,
guys.
Dylan, Justin, Jeff, and Kenny. You guys are staying for questions for Sandy, right?
They'll take their seats, and then Sandy's
okay.
Got questions. Yep.
Okay.
Okay, thank you so much. We do have questions on my iPad. From the audience, let's start with Philip Zatina. I don't know where all the players are at. Where is Philip? Here's the question, Philip. So tell us about your NHL debut this week. You played your first two games this week on Sunday and Tuesday. Tell us about the night before. Did you get any sleep?
It was my normal day routine before the game. I slept well. I was so excited about the games and, you know, it was what it was, but I enjoyed it. It was a huge two games for me.
Thank you, Philip. Okay, Tom Vanek. Next audience question for Tom. There you are. It's no secret that you've been well-traveled in your NHL career. What was it about the Red Wings that made you interested in returning to Detroit as a free agent last summer?
Well, I think a few guys have mentioned it is the culture. I think I've been on several teams here over the past years, and the one thing that really stuck with me when I left the first time around is, again, win or lose, I think it's hard to lose in this league. It's very hard to get over it, but for some reason this team gets over it a little bit quicker, and that's probably why they've won cups in the past. So I think that was a big reason why.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it. Okay, next question, Luke Witkowski. Where's Luke at? Luke, many of your teammates have identified you as the player they would most want to be lost in the wilderness with. Sorry, I just had to pause a little.
That was a good pause.
It really, in all seriousness, due to your interest in the outdoors and your survivor skills, which of your teammates would you least like to be stranded? I did not come up with these questions. Someone in this audience did. Which of your teammates would you least like to be stranded in the woods with, please? Be honest.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I don't want to throw anybody under the bus right now. Can we come back to that?
You don't have to answer it. That's
right.
A good answer,
I got
actually.
No answer.
Okay. Jimmy Howard. Jimmy, last month you participated in your second career NHL All-Star Game. What did it mean to you to represent the Red Wings in San Jose and to be able to bring your family with you? Second question, as a goalie, how challenging is coming into a game against the NHL's best players cold and facing a barrage of breakaways and two-on-ones?
Well, it's definitely not fun, the latter part of that question. It was probably the hardest 10 minutes that I've ever had to play, but you know, it was a tremendous honor to be able to go out and represent the Red Wings as an organization, but it was even more fun to be able to bring my boys. You know, they're at the age now where they're getting to know players around the league, and to see their little faces light up, and you know, when they got to meet you know, Connor McDavid and you know, some other players, it was really special.
Thank you. It's her for Jimmy. Okay, Jonathan Bernier. Jonathan, this is your first season with the team after stops in Los Angeles, Toronto, Anaheim, and Colorado. What appealed to you about joining the Red Wings, and how have you liked living in Metro Detroit?
Well, it's been great. To be honest, I wasn't sure where I was going to sign this summer, but when I got the call from Kenny, I was very thrilled. And being here for almost a year now, living in a great area, great schools, and it's not what I was expecting from Detroit. So it's a lot better when you actually live here, and you know, being part with you know, such history with this team has been it's been an amazing ride so far.
Thank you, Jonathan. Okay, Luke Glendening. It seems that the majority of the goals in your NHL career have come on your backhand. Do you have any explanation for this trend? And does it ever cross your mind when you have a scoring chance near the net?
Well, I don't score a lot, so maybe two or three are on the backhand. No, it doesn't ever cross my mind, to be honest. It just seems to be the way it goes. That's all I got for it.
Whoever wrote that question. Okay, Tyler Bertuzzi, you're known as one of the most avid gamers on the team. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Okay. Which one of your teammates is much worse at video games than they think they are?
Worse? Well, I think Gentzman when he was here. But after him, probably De La Rose.
Why is that?
Well, I was streaming yesterday, actually, for the Detroit Red Wings Twitch for a charity, and he was writing in the chat that I was bad. So, and I told him to come on and play with me, but he wouldn't.
Ah, there you go. Thanks, Tyler. Okay, Andreas, I have no idea how to pronounce your last name, so Double A, where are you? Earlier this week, you spent some time with the Harlem Globetrotters while the court was down at Little Caesars Arena. If the Globetrotters held a tryout for Red Wings players, which of your teammates would stand the best chance of making the team, and which would be among the first cuts?
Horace is about 6 foot six, so he'd probably be pretty decent. Mo won actually the horse game out of all of us, so he was probably be up there to be the first pick. Who wouldn't make it? Probably Dylan. I've seen his jump shot. And it's, no, I'm just kidding.
Do you agree with that, Dylan Larkin? You do? Okay, thanks, Double A. Okay, where is Madison Bowie? Oh, there you go. How did you spend your day with the Stanley Cup after the Capitals win in 2018?
Well, I started off, I had a little get-together at my house, so with my family, a little breakfast with the Cup, then took it to the Children's Hospital for about 2 or 3 hours, which was awesome. Then went back to my community center where I grew up playing hockey for a little speech there and a nice turnout there. And Kate took it back to my house for a barbecue where my friends, their families, my family could all come and join me in my backyard for a little roast there, and then went out to a little bar for the remaining of the night, which is good.
Thank you so much, and congratulations. Okay, Jonathan Erickson. Okay, again, I don't know who wrote this, but I think maybe another player, I suspect.
Right,
is it true that you are importing a cat from Russia? And if so, what are you naming the Russian cat?
I don't know where to start. It's a cat for my daughter.
That's completely weird.
It's a breeder in Michigan, and I guess she brings in cats from Russia. My daughter named the cat Luna.
There you go.
But it isn't here yet, so we'll see if it comes.
Okay, Jonathan, thank you. Thanks, everybody, and thanks, Red Wings, for your questions and answers.
I thought you'd be naming the cat Pavel. It makes sense.
Why not?
I don't know. I was thinking. Well, before we conclude here today, again, we want to thank the Detroit Economic Club for inviting us here once again. We always enjoy this every year. We're off to fly to Arizona for games there tomorrow night, and then Monday in Colorado. I guess you're staying home, huh?
I am. I'll be watching.
I'm sure you will, from your kitchen table. Tuesday in Colorado.
Tuesday.
Oh, right. We got two off days. That's right. Tuesday in Colorado. How could I forget that? Okay, Tuesday in Colorado, Arizona tomorrow night. You'll be watching. Hope you'll all be watching on Fox Sports Detroit.
And with that, we'll now turn the mic back over to Sandy and Steve for the raffle as we're headed to catch a plane, the gang is, and to face off with the Arizona Coyotes on Saturday.
Terrific. Thank you. Mickey and Ken, a giant round of applause for our tremendous broadcast team. Thank you. And once again, thank you to the Red Wings organization, the Illich organization. And now, the fun continues. Ladies and gentlemen, that's all I got. But I hope you had a terrific time. Thanks for being with us. We hope to see you again soon. And let's go, Red Wings. Thank you.